And so, Eric, if you need eggs, they've got more across the road. That was good. Thank you very much. Memorial Day. This was always a special day for my family. Growing up, what we would do is usually before Memorial Day weekend, might have been the Saturday of the weekend, we would come up and go to the cemetery. Shiloh Cemetery is down in the woods here, not the one out in front. The one in front predates Shiloh by about 60 years. That's been here a long time. But we go down, and my mom would have some geraniums or other flowers, and she'd go around to all the different family graves. And even then, there were a lot of relatives buried there, and we'd put out flowers at all these different graves. And then we'd see where others had come in and done the same thing. And I'm just curious, do you think people will be doing that 50 years from now or 70 years? I'm just curious.
E-flowers.
Yeah, that's really good. E-flowers. Well, it's something we do. It's something Lois and I and my sister, we continue to do. It's meaningful to us. Whether it'll be meaningful to my kids and the next generation, time will tell. But it's meaningful to us. Sometimes you need to do something. I'm going to talk about doing today, because Memorial Day, we're remembering those that did something. And this was kind of interesting how these things intersected. This was EMS week, and so we did a thing over at the fire department. We had school kids come over, grades 5 through 8. We did some safety things with them. We were doing basic CPR training for them, which we're going to offer, our new fire chief's going to offer more classes for anyone that wants to come for free. I think it's going to be free CPR training. But, you know, it's important to do something. When you see a need, that you don't freeze or take action. So I'm going to play a little video here. It's, you know, if you come up on an accident, you say, well, am I liable? Am I this or that? Actually, there's Good Samaritan laws, I believe, in all 50 states. If you are there trying to help a person that you've come across in a very difficult situation, the law, as of right now, still protects you in that. I have a friend that's he's now retired from it, but for years he was an over-the-road truck driver. And he told me about literally witnessing an accident happening right in front of his tractor-trailer truck. He pulled it over, blocked the highway, and as the vehicle immediately caught on fire, he pulled three people out of that vehicle. He doesn't know their final outcome because the EMTs came in, took them away. But he said, you got to do something. You can't just drive by and pretend it didn't happen. So taking action. We need to take action. Action being a good thing. And so doing is an important thing. In James' epistle, in the New Testament, he writes, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. A call to action. James is saying we're called to action. And as we grow in the knowledge of the Bible, we grow in the knowledge of God's word, it actually, I believe, compels us to be more active, both in our faith and in practical ways too. So I'm going to give you a few verses. I call it my biblical to-do list. It's good to do. And Paul's writing to the church in Colossae, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. That's an important thing to know. We're in service for the King, Jesus. But I like this story. I went to Luke chapter 10. It's only found in Luke's gospel. And many of you are familiar with this. The story of this so-called Good Samaritan. And, you know, he came upon a person in need, but he wasn't the first one to come by that person. But one person did something when others wouldn't. So you know the story, but I've got it up here. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus answers him, what is written in the law? He replied, how do you read it? And the guy's right on the money, actually. He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus replies, you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus tells him the story. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. Not good. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. a priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So, too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. Jesus intentionally drags in two people who should have done something, the priest and the Levite. These guys are known for their religion, their so-called faith in serving God. They should have been the first ones to do something, and they walk on by. And so for the sake of emphasis, Jesus uses in his story an outcast, a person of mixed racial background in Jesus' time, of mixed ethnic and spiritual background, and Jesus drags him into the story, a Samaritan. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said, "and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have." Now Jesus asks the guy who thought he was so clever, "Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." The Samaritan was the example there. So I think there's so many aspects to Christianity to me that are absolutely fascinating. When we follow Christ and where we understand God's word, and we learn how merciful God is, and that empowers us to be merciful. You may not feel like it, but it's beyond the feeling thing. You know it's just the right thing to do when you do it. Doing always takes something. It takes risk. There's a risk. The Samaritan took a risk helping that beat up guy, and what's he going to get back out of it? You go to help people sometimes. I've seen this. You've seen it too. You take a risk, and it may backfire. It doesn't mean it wasn't the right thing to do. It always, I think, will take some amount of time, and time for most of us is a challenge. Our days are, sometimes our nights are pretty full. It takes time. It can take effort, emotional effort. It can take, for those of us that are people of prayer, there's a spiritual effort involved as well. It can be a physical thing, effort. It can take, as it did with the Samaritan, it can take expense. He didn't just bring him there. He took care of him and left money for future care. It can be an expense. And all of these combined will mean some form of sacrifice. There's some form of sacrifice that takes place. Doing incorporates all these things. What does it mean? My wording is this. What does it mean to follow Christ? It means being Jesus to the world around us. I don't mean that in a mentally weird way. I think I'm Messiah. But I'm saying that we're reflecting Jesus' love and mercy in very practical ways. And there's a lot of ways we can do that. Of course, Paul has to me the classic verse, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me," or gives me strength. So that's an important part, doing. And then I reflect on those that who over the years have done something. My dad, we remember on Memorial Day those who did something. They gave their all, and of course Jesus gave his all. My dad served in 2 wars. He served in World War II. Most of you that have been here around me for a while know this. And he served also in the Korean War. In World War II, he ended up, his assignment was on Monterey Beach, California. And not everybody got that assignment, but that was his assignment. And he was training men for the invasion of Japan, which they thought they would have to do. And so he was training with land, sea, amphibious vehicles. They were tanked. They were like a tank, but then they had a big chamber in it that carried a lot of infantrymen. And they were practicing beach landings in the surf on Monterey Beach. And he had a lot of stories about that. And then he also did tank drills up in the mountains. He was a tank commander. But he never went overseas for World War II. Where I think of other men who were sitting here not that long ago, Jack Tupper, underbelly gunner on a B-24 Liberator, 32 missions over France and Germany and the surrounding countries, and comes home to tell about it. He had a lot of stories. Walter Parker and Philip Anderson both drove trucks, supply trucks. Philip came in, I remember, after the Battle of the Bulge. Walter drove around a lot of Europe. These men were there. Other men didn't come home. John Anderson's here today. He's named after an uncle that didn't come home. He was a tank commander, and he gave his life. So a few years ago, I put together this slideshow, and for some of you, the names may or may not mean a whole lot, but for some of us, for me in particular, I personally knew a lot of these people, not all of them, because one of the gravestones that comes up, these are all from Shiloh Cemetery. If you've never been down there, I'll tell you how to get in there. But we actually have a gravestone from a man who served with the 20th Maine during the Civil War, Eugene Jackson. And Eugene Jackson made an impression on Jack Tupper's parents. So Jack Tupper's real name was Jackson Tupper, named after Eugene Jackson, one of the 20th Maine. I never did do the homework to find out if he fought in the Battle of Gettysburg on Little Round Top. So without knowing, I'll assume he did, and I'm very proud of him. It just works better for me that way. So Lynn is going to play some music while we go through these slides. But, you know, there's so many great things going on, remembering our veterans and remember those who made sacrifices. And this is my little tribute to at least some of the people that I have known. Lord, we do trust you. We have seen your faithfulness and your goodness over and over again. Sometimes we have to stop and look for it, because it's often your blessings are so many, we're just charging along and we're missing them. But they're there. If we'll stop and look, you are there. You are always God with us. That's one of that great, I call it Christmas name, Emmanuel, God with us. And your promise is true today. Jesus, you said, I will never leave you or forsake you. We may go through things we do not understand, but you said you would always be with us. You will always be with us. Thank you, Jesus, for that promise. Thank you for blessing our nation. In spite of the sin-soaked country that we live in, you're continuing to pour out your grace and your favor in every direction. And I thank you, too, that your heart is open. You stand at the door and knock, as it says in Revelation. And if people will open up, you will come in and have fellowship with them. Maybe there's someone here that doesn't know that you just long to have a close relationship with them. You can just silently now pray from your heart, Jesus, come into my heart. I want to know you. I want to have that peace. I want to know I am in your hands. I am in your hands, and that's a safe, good place to be. Lord, bless us as we go. Bless the families as they get together and share memories, and we remember those that have given their lives for our freedom. And I do pray that you would bless our military serving all over the world. I'm grateful for the country that we have, and you know, it's pretty good that we have some of the advancements in military equipment, but every life is precious, God. Watch over our military. Bless them today. And bless us as we go, that we would be reflections. We would be that light and salt, God, you've called us to be to people around us. We would radiate, reflect your wonderful love. Amen? You are dismissed. Lord bless your day and the day tomorrow. Okay. Yeah. Right at the beginning, Don. Trustee deacons in the fellowship hall.